بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, our mothers and sisters who are present and those who are listening over streaming. Tonight in our area, the KZN area, the Overport area, we currently are experiencing load shedding. Now, alhamdulillah, we are fortunate here that we have backup systems in place that will allow us to function normally. So I recall our late Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, when similar situations or blackouts or load shedding had commenced, or there were some sort of blackouts that took place, then Maulana would give examples based on these conditions. He would draw parables, draw examples to drive some pertinent and important points home. A Muslim is someone who takes lesson from everything that we see around us. So we find that now with this load shedding, which is now beyond our control, those people who have some sort of backup system, some people have inverters in their home, and some people have backup generators, some people have solar panels. So whilst the electricity is running, then we find that these batteries are silently charging. And when you have electricity, you don't hear the charging. Many of these systems are so silent. You don't even know they're charging. You don't even hear it's charging. But there's a charging that is taking place constantly, consistently. And sometimes days will go by and there may be no need for it. But then suddenly when the lights are turned off or when there's some sort of power outage or failure, then sometimes you'll find in the street, like here too, if you drive down, you'll notice that the madrasa is illuminated. So mashallah, definitely with the barakat of the Quran Sharif that is being recited here, and the ahadith of Rasulullah SAW that is being taught here. So it is illuminating in the skies. Ulama-i Kiram explain that that city or that village in which there is a institute where the tilawat of the Quran Sharif is taking place, then approximately 40 houses from every direction become recipients of some sort of barakat by virtue of that institute. So these are things we don't see with our naked eye, but then now we are living in a zamana and in an era with lots of things we don't see with our naked eye. The internet and the Wi-Fi and the, you know, our remote systems, and now everything is wireless. Everything is wireless. Unbelievable. Intercom system is wireless. The person will open his gates wireless. The person can log into his camera system in his shop. He is in another country, but he's... Now, if you had to say this 20 years ago to somebody, they'll scratch their heads. How is this ever possible? How can you do such a thing? But today we see things have changed, completely evolved. But the lessons, now it is so easy for us to understand these things. So, you'll find that now in this entire street, mashallah, the lights are switched on. And one can immediately ascertain and differentiate this house from another home. And now we can see that this home has got some backup system by virtue of which They have electricity, they have power. And this home has got no backup system. And that's why they don't have anything. Even that home that has a little backup torch, there too you'll see some lights coming out. The lesson we take from this is that each and every one of us, we have got life, the current of life in our body currently. This current of life is at the moment, it is switched on. But وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. Just by way of example, that switch will be turned off. That current of life will be switched off. And then when that current of life is switched off, then there is a complete stoppage and everything comes to a halt. All the actions of that individual comes to a halt. Complete standstill. However, that person who was continuously charging up the different batteries, lithium-ion battery and this battery and that battery, he was continuously charging up all his backup systems. So here when we speak about the akhirat, the person contributed to some masjid, the person helped some widow and orphan, the person was involved in the digging of some borehole, the person was involved in some welfare relief work, whichever way it may have been. The person has brought up pious children who became flag bearers of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So now, all that good deeds, that a'mal as-saliha, that will continue. And inshallah, it will illuminate this person's grave. It will generate a revenue of the akhirah into this person's grave. There's one incident that flashes through the mind with regards to children that are pious. It's mentioned in certain kitabs where there was one particular person who was being punished due to his sins. And he was known to be a perpetual drunkard, always drinking. But now, every in his grave, the azab of Allah Ta'ala was coming, the punishment of Allah Ta'ala was coming. One day, suddenly, no adha. And now, a window was opened into his grave, and the fragrance of the gardens of Jannah began blowing into this grave. It's a complete change. This person was bewildered, amazed. What has happened here? So he asked the angels that, why, what has happened? And it was told to him that, you know, when you passed away, you left behind a little infant son. Your wife, she brought up this boy in a good manner. She exposed him to the right environment. We are elaborating. She exposed him to the right environment. She sent him to learn deen. And he was brought up correctly. And he started learning the alphabets of the Arabic language. And today he learned Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then announced that if this child is calling me most merciful, most gracious, then how is it possible that I punish the father of this child? So there are many examples of this nature, that by virtue of the pious children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the parents and the grandparents to benefit due to the piety of the children. And vice versa, the children also benefit by virtue of the piety of the parents and the great grandparents. Allah ta'ala speaks about in Surah Kahf with regards wa kana abuhuma saliha, that وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. So there, ulama'i kiram, according to some mufassirin, apparently 7 generations above, there were 2 orphans, where the story, just to elaborate for those who may not know, that there were 2 orphans in one particular village. Musa alayhi salam and Khizr were walking through this particular village. Musa alayhi salam had asked Allah Ta'ala to teach him such knowledge, which was a special kind of a knowledge. And Allah Ta'ala then sent him in the company of Khidr alayhi salam. And one of the conditions was that he must not ask any questions. And we know the various incidents. He went in a boat and he damaged the boat. Musa alayhi salam, being the Nabi of Allah, could not tolerate it and immediately raised an objection. And thereafter they went to one particular village where the people of this village were extremely hostile. They're very nasty. They were not welcoming. They were in need of food. They were hungry. But the people of the village were extremely hostile, no interest whatsoever. And of course, this enraged Musa alayhi salam. And whilst walking, they found this wall that was collapsing. Khizr alayhi salam immediately, through the command of Allah Ta'ala, repaired the entire wall and reconstructed it in a fantastic manner. So Musa alayhi salam became a bit irritated with this, that the people of this village, they did nothing for us. We are in need of food. Fine, you did it, but couldn't you do it with some kind of payment? You should have taken a payment for this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that beneath this wall was a treasure which was buried, which would have been beneficial for these orphans. And had it become exposed, then the people of this village would have usurped it, and they would not have given the orphans their rightful share. And by virtue of their parents being pious, Allah ta'ala protected these orphans. Some Mufassirin mentioned that your parents were referring to 7 generations back, that they had pious parents. So therefore, the Mufassirin mentioned that when a person is pious, that not only does he benefit himself, but inshallah Allah Ta'ala will make it such that 7 generations of his will be protected. 7 generations inshallah. So here we find that when a person leaves this world, coming back to what we were saying, when a person leaves this world, if he has left behind pious progeny, then there will be a source of great benefit for this individual in his or her grave. They will recite Quran Sharif for the person. They will send Isal al-Thawab. And that is why we should make it a habit. It is not necessary that a person goes to the grave. Some people feel, you know, I didn't go to the grave, or the grave is in a very dangerous area. We know how South Africa has become such, where a person sometimes, you know, he just walks out of his home and there's a concern. The other night we had one student just walking from the masjid to his home, which is just a few meters away, and he was mugged. So a person, Allah Ta'ala grant him complete shifa, but slightly injured in the process, alhamdulillah, not serious. But this is the condition we are living in now, that a person doesn't even know whether he must leave the home or not, whether it's safe or not. Allah Ta'ala keep us all safe. So now it's not necessary for a person now to endanger his life because he has to go to the gravesite. What about that person who has lost his near and dear one, perhaps in a drowning? The person drowned and the body was never recovered. So will we say that now you couldn't read by the grave, so now finish? You know, you haven't fulfilled the right of your near and dear one. No, the person in Alame Arwah, it is a complete different world. The person can be sitting in one position and he can just recite 3 quls and say, Ya Allah, you send the thawab of this 3 quls and you send it. You send it to this individual. Inshallah, by virtue of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the person great rewards. And that's why, make it a habit that whenever you think of a person who has passed away, whether it's the person's parents, grandparents, the person's ustad, the apa, the sheikh, some person who was kind to you in your life, who helped you in some way. You know, sometimes there are certain people who are, you know, they're not very great people in the community. Nobody really recognizes them. But sometimes those were the individuals who shaped us in our lives. A simple man who gave you some beautiful advice in your life, which completely maybe changed the direction of your life and changed your perspective in life. You are indebted to that individual. And he left the world a long time ago, or she left the world a long time ago. Whenever we think of them, we should make it a habit to express our appreciation by sending a gift of the 3 quls, which in the hadith of Rasulullah is equivalent to the recitation of the whole Quran Sharif. Of course, it doesn't mean that the person who read the whole Quran Sharif and three quls, it is one third of the Quran. So if we look at it that way, then inshallah one third is almost the thawab of the entire Quran. So nevertheless, a person should make an effort to do some sort of good deed or give some charity, some kind of charity, which may be perpetual. So coming back to what we are saying, we say the intelligent person is that person who's got a backup system. When the lights are cut out, he's got a backup system. Even if it's a little torch that's on the wall, you know, you get these some of these torches that are such, they're charging all the time. When the lights stop, it switches on. At least he can maneuver through. He's not tripping and bumping and there's no way where this is and where that is. At least he can navigate his way through. So in the same way, we should in our lives, Nabi Kareem Sahasam said, who is the intelligent person? The intelligent person is that person who restrains his evil desire, suppresses his evil desires, controls his evil desires, وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and he does and he makes an effort for the life hereafter. So in our daily routine, there should be, Allah will give you many, many opportunities. Sometimes you are working, you are involved in your workplace, and a employee or a customer, you know, they ask you a question about Islam. Whilst working, you can give the person advice with the intention that, Ya Allah, I'm making the intention that I'm going to give this person a da'wah to Islam. I'm going to try and entice the person or show the beauty of Islam, that inshallah, Ya Allah, he one day must accept Islam by virtue of this. Inshallah, he will accept Islam or she will accept Islam. But even if they do not accept Islam, your intention was there, Allah will give you the full thawab. Allah Ta'ala's treasures, there's absolutely no shortage in the treasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So whatever little action we do, just change the intention and try and do every active action and activity for the hereafter. I'm going to work because I want to provide for my children. And inshallah, my children will become, you know, flag bearers of the deen of Islam. Or inshallah, this business of mine one day will sustain one madrasa or one masjid. Or a percentage of my business will go into some dini cause. So now the person, even if the person didn't do it, or the person passed away in the process of setting up his business, but his intention was there. Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The niyah of a believer is far greater than the action of that person. Far greater. I think last week we spoke about it, or one of the majalis, we said that Allah Ta'ala gives the person Jannat forever, and Allah Ta'ala punishes the disbeliever with Jahannam forever. And one of the explanations for this is that the disbeliever and both the believer, their intention is to remain on their deen, on their way, forever. Forever. So because their intention was forever, Allah looked at the intention, and based on the intention, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then rewarded, or Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala punished. So just a little bit of lesson we can take from this load shedding, that how prepared are we for the darkness of our grief? Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi gives the example. He says there was a king who, as an example, this king had five streams of beautiful, fresh, crystal clear water that was flowing into his palace. A well-fortified palace. And he had these five streams of water flowing in. Abundance of water, abundance of life, excitement, enjoyment. So he had an advisor, a wazir, very wise person. He said, "Oh king, you know, it is in all fairness, we have this five streams of water, but why don't we dig one borehole in the center of this huge palace of ours, so that if something happens to these streams, at least we've got a backup plan, we've got some water." So the king looked, thought about it, but he had other advisors that were there. They said, "What are you talking about? We've got five streams flowing. Five streams from different places. They're all flowing in." There was a lot of jealousy between the advisors. "What are you talking about?" And as a result, nothing was done. Jalaluddin Umi Rahmatullah says the enemies of the king were planning, they were plotting, they were scheming. And they realized that it was impossible for them to penetrate the palace of the king because it was too fortified. So then they realized that there's one weakness to this palace, that it is completely dependent on the water from external sources. And as a result, what they did, one by one, they began cutting the streams of water that were flowing into this palace, until eventually Allama Jalaluddin Umi Rahmatullah Ali says that all water now, water supply into that palace was cut out. And now there was no water, and slowly but surely whatever water they had got finished. And the enemy just waited it out. They did nothing else. They just camped and they waited, until eventually the people of this palace became so desperate that now they started begging for water, and they were forced to open the doors of the palace, and the enemy launched the attack and destroyed and completely took control over that palace. So Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah says, in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these five senses. We have got five senses: our eyes, our ears, the touch, the sense of smell, etc., etc. And all these five senses, we are taking a lot of benefit in this world. But we have got a heart within ourselves. If we work on this heart, and we drill into this heart, and we eradicate, when a person drills and all that dirt comes out, that filth comes out, that muck comes out. When a person, yeah, mashallah, outside the madrasa, they were digging a borehole. So we saw the kind of dirt that was coming out, and then the mud that was shooting out into the sky, until eventually, mashallah, clean, fresh water came out. So initially, in the early days of the drilling, when that rig is drilling, you're finding rocks are coming out, and sand is coming out, and stone is coming out. But then as the person continues drilling and continues drilling, now you find that now the sand becomes a little moist and a bit muddy, but still it's not right. But the person carries on drilling and carries on drilling until he hits that fresh water. And then too, the specialists say, you don't stop there, go a little deeper, because the water that's more higher is not as pure as the water that's lower. And then they carry on, they don't stop, they carry on, until eventually the water, and when they do the testing, they say the quality of the water is very good, or you've got this problem or that problem, whatever it is. In the same way, the person who works on his heart and he starts eradicating all these evil qualities, hatred, malice, jealousy, pride, all of these things, there's a lot of effort that has to be made. And in the early days, many people say, you know, Maulana, I'm trying to change, but you know, I don't see, feel anything, I don't experience anything. You are still drilling, brother, sister. You still have to drill. Carry on drilling, don't give up. These are whisperings of shaitan. Shaitan doesn't want you to progress. You carry on making your effort. Carry on suppressing your nafs. Carry on, you know, controlling yourself. Until eventually now the person starts experiencing a difference. He says, no, alhamdulillah, I find that in my salah, it is a different feeling in my salah. And, you know, I'm controlling myself. Normally I get angry and I want to lash out at the person. Here the person called me what names. And I just kept quiet. I didn't say anything. I controlled myself. So the person is now drilling, is drilling. And as you continue, eventually the person will find now, the person hits water. And then the person will say, Allahu Akbar, what a feeling. And the person sometimes can reach such a maqam that he gets such a close ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala that, you know, all the enjoyments of this world are nothing. May Allah Ta'ala grant us that kind of a kayfiyat and a feeling. The walis of Allah, the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that they've got that stream of pure water that is coming out. But now the beauty of this is that when our life comes to an end, that person who worked on his heart, those beautiful qualities of the heart will continue to flow into the qabar and into the year after. The person will continue seeing the benefit. And that is why it is said with the Ahlullah and the friends of Allah Ta'ala, that as time passes after their demise, you will find that their acceptance and their maqbooliyat only increases. This is a sign of maqbooliyat. You look at our kabirin. For example, we speak about our late Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. But you find the more and more we meet people, the more they say, you know, how we wish we met this person. What a great personality. What a wonderful personality. We missed out. If only we had the opportunity. And now you find as people are now starting to listen and read, Allah Ta'ala is now increasing the acceptance of this individual. And if you look at many of our akabirin, many of the sahaba ikram, many of the great fuqaha, in the early days they were unknown. But as time passed, Allah Ta'ala only increased their maqbooliyat. This was the effect of the person who worked on his heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. I actually wanted to speak a little bit about Muharram and Ashura, but these majalis are not really based on any particular topic. that we have to cover a particular topic. There is a place for all of those things as well. I mean, if there is a lesson taking place, a dars, a person is doing a course, and now if the person keeps on going in other directions, then we're not going to finish it. But here, this is just for our islah, to, you know, rejuvenate our focus on what Allah Ta'ala has sent us. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make us of those who invest in the hereafter and have backup plans for the hereafter. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it such that our grave is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. We'll make some zikrullah and dua, inshallah. Recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu wa ta'ala sha'nuhu. Allah, 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 Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Oh Kareem Allah, Rahim Allah, most forgiving, loving, caring Allah. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Forgive our major sins, our minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you have granted us tawfiq to gather here tonight, Ya Allah, in this Mubarak month of Muharram, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with barakat in this year, Ya Allah. Let this year be filled with barakat, with rahmah, with afiyah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, do not test us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with bounties upon bounties, and grant us the ability and tawfiq to appreciate these bounties, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us of those, Ya Allah, who purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Hame musaffa, mujalla, muzakka, dil ata farma. Give us clean, purified hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, change the condition of our lives, Ya Allah. Change the direction of our lives, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us the best of dunya. But oh Allah, let our hearts be attached, Ya Allah, to your obedience, Ya Allah. To your mahabba, Ya Allah. To your ishq, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us barakat in our homes, Ya Allah. Barakat in our health, Ya Allah. Barakat in our time, Ya Allah. Barakat in every single ni'mah and bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with the noble akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us the ability to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. Allah, alleviate the suffering, Ya Allah, of all those who are suffering, especially in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have mercy upon the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, how divided we have become, Ya Allah. Especially in this country, Ya Allah. All other divisions, Ya Allah, shocking, Ya Allah. Divisions upon divisions upon divisions, Ya Allah. Allah, that Ummah, Ya Allah, Nabi Kareem Sassam left in one piece has been fragmented into a million pieces, Ya Allah. And now effort is being made to further fragment those pieces, Ya Allah. Allah, unite the hearts of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Allah, grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to make some khidmah and service to your deen, Ya Allah. To invest in our hereafter, Ya Allah. Allah, make us of the intelligent ones, Ya Allah, who make amal for after death, Ya Allah. Allah, one day the angel of death will strike, Ya Allah. When the angel of death strikes, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, do not let it be such, Ya Allah, that we are found in any sinful action or deed or place, Ya Allah. Let the angel of death find us in some good deed, Ya Allah. Allah, the road I aqdas of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salatu was-salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. Cause our souls to depart, lekin, Ya Allah, agar muqaddar nahi hai, to jaha bhi ho, barakat wali no, maut naseeb farma, Ya Allah. Allah, you are well away all the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all their good desires and aspirations, Ya Allah. Whatever challenge, difficulty, sickness they are going through, Ya Allah, you alleviate it, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil.